This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are also live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on your TV. Brought to you, as always, by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, April 24th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined, as always, by Eric Pickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Johnny Cakes Awville's here.
Hello. Happy Friday.
And Jason Bishop.
What's up, boys?
Just looking at your washed out face with the light just completely pummeling your face as it always happens.
The first hour is brutal.
Well, I've got four monitors in front of me. I don't know what you want me to do. If you want to come over and fix the lighting, feel free.
Be his lighting director.
Yeah. I'm social distancing. I'm not coming over.
Oh, all right.
It's fine. I can be.
I got four big ass monitors in front of me. That's where all the light comes.
I did notice though that like once 7 o'clock comes, you don't that backlight isn't there anymore or something. Did you move it or?
I put a lamp in front of me, so I've got that as my actual room light. But the light you see on my face is all the computers,
the monitors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell if you're sleepy or not.
It's better at 7. There, that looks good right there.
Yeah, that looked.
That's
yeah,
the one that's killing you. That one right there.
Oh, that's perfect. Because I got my laptop on.
Yeah.
That's my laptop lighting right there.
What if you turn your laptop? Can you put it in another location that's not right
it
on
in
your face?
Dark mode?
I mean, I
can't you put your setting in dark mode?
I can darken it. Hold on a little bit. Hold on.
Won't be able to see so good if he does that.
No, that makes
anyway,
it worse.
That's just for the viewers out there. My over-under on Jason is 14.5. How many picks did you stay up to watch?
Cakes, what's your guess?
14.5 is a good number. You do love your sleep. And it started late. I mean, it could have started any later.
I mean, the first five picks took an hour.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to go under for that. And he caught up this morning.
Eric, what's your guess?
It took so long to get the picks going that I'm going to guess about 7 picks.
So you're going under.
Very pick. That's a great pick. I actually went to sleep. I fell asleep. And I remember this. I fell asleep before the Carolina Panthers selected.
Wow. Six that's before picks. The top 10. Yeah.
Because I thought that they were going to take Isaiah Simmons, and they didn't. They took Derek Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But I fell asleep before pick 7.
Yeah. It took too long. So here's the thing. It was cool to have something different. I do think it was a bizarre. Once they started making the picks, it was a little bit better, of course, and it was great to have something on.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the opening was brutal. Roger Goodell is such a wooden boob to
me. I mean, Harry Connick singing.
The Harry Connick was good, though. Like, at least he's got a personality. Goodell
just kills me.
He's got a personality,
but it just all we want to see is picks. We don't want to see all the prelim stuff.
Yeah, it just took forever to get the picks going. And let me just club Goodell a little bit. I just can't believe that he's the most powerful guy in football. And he's just so devoid of personality.
Right.
He's such a stiff.
He's so stiff.
It's just brutal. Like, I would limit him as much as possible. Just let everybody else do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, but, if I were the NFL, I would hire a dynamic, like, TV-type guy to do that event. It doesn't have to be Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell could just stand at the podium and make the picks. But then, you know, this whole fake thing, like, he loves the booing and he misses the boo. Like, give me a break. As someone who's been booed, no one loves being booed. It's brutal.
Yeah, but I'm going to defend him in this manner. Give me a commissioner of the major sports that's dynamic. Just focus on Goodell and not have a personality. I don't think Rob Manfred has a personality. Adam Silver, Gary Bettman, and they all go up there and they announce it. It's an awkward
thing. No, that's
not
the announcing part, JP. I say do that. It's just that it felt like the first 20 minutes was about Goodell and his basement. It was just too much.
He just
make the picks. Go to the podium, make the pick, and get out of there.
He's such a robot. Because, I mean, he makes the pick, he stumbles through it, then he turns to his TV screen, and he waves the card at the people, and he says, let's go. It's like,
he doesn't care about the people.
That's all fake.
He doesn't care about the fans.
It was cheesy, but I thought, to me, if I had a criticism of the TV side, and look, I stayed up, I watched the whole draft. So I stayed up till midnight.
Because it was after
midnight. We've
been
devoid of sports. Yeah, I finished at midnight. I stayed all the way up to the Edward Solaire draft choice, which was the running back out of LSU. It seemed like the entire LSU squad got selected last night.
Right.
I mean, every two or three picks, LSU.
It's a ridiculous squad.
Unbelievable. Ohio State or Alabama.
And there'll be more. And there'll be more of those guys on day two and the next day.
I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I want to say 15 guys from the SEC were selected.
I think 5 from LSU.
Yeah. So anyway, Edward Solaire, who was basically a scat back from LSU, almost a role player, got picked in the first round. It's unbelievable. But my criticism would be almost too many analysts. And I get that they were trying to put ESPN and NFL Network together and just have one broadcast. But they had 10 minutes in between picks. And traditionally, if you were to watch either the NFL Network or ESPN, you would have a breakdown of the player who they expect to be drafted. Then the player gets drafted. Then they kind of give you the pros and cons and how he might fit in. And then they'd have an interview. And I think they only interviewed Joe Burrow and Jordan Love. I don't know if they interviewed anybody else in between because they just didn't have time because they were kicking it to so many people.
Well, also the delay, and it's the nature of the beast. I get it. But some of those guys had really long delays. And we're all, you know, dealing with this pretty well, and we're all, you know, accepting. But it's still ponderous to watch. So, like, you're waiting 5 seconds for an answer because the guy's listening.
Yeah.
To the question, and I was just like, "Oh my God, I'm just spoiled as a viewer. I just wanted more packages." But, you know, for the most part, I thought it was pretty good, and it was better than nothing.
I just
watch the news.
I like seeing the home offices.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
That was my favorite part.
The home offices were really cool. I mean, did you see the guy that had the best spot by far? Wasn't even close. Was it's a Kingsbury? Whatever the guy in Arizona,
Kingsbury.
Yeah. I mean, his place looked ridiculous. It looked like the Kardashians lived there.
Yeah.
But I thought seeing the families of the players was so cool.
Yep.
You know, just see the mom and dads and the brothers and sisters and everybody just be so excited and crying and everything. Nothing beats that. That's the best part.
Right.
So Gruden's good.
John Gruden's son looks just like him. He's got 3 kids or 4 kids.
Little bodybuilder guy.
Yeah, little bodybuilder. Looks just like him.
Is he 5'1" maybe?
I don't know. He's short.
I mean, oh my God.
So that was what jumped out at me was the home offices. It took forever. I DVR'd it this morning, so I got through all the commercials and all that nonsense. I don't know how you guys stayed up until midnight to watch it.
I stayed up till about the 24th.
I don't know how you guys could sit through all those commercials.
I bailed at pick 20. I was like, yeah, this is enough.
I don't care about the other teams. I don't care. I can't believe I stayed up that late.
Well, I mean, I wanted to see if there were any trades and who was trading.
Well, there weren't much trades, actually.
There were, yeah.
New England traded out of the first round. Bill Belichick just has contempt for the draft, it seems like.
Well, he just likes stockpiling picks, especially when he picks late in the first round like he traditionally does. He knows that teams want to vault into the first round, and he just picks up extra picks.
Yeah, he's really good at it. If he's the one that's pulling it off, he's really good at it.
I guess they're rolling with Stidham.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess. We've had reports where people say that – who was the guy that we had on – that said that they love him. Like, so far what they've seen in practice, they love this kid. So, who knows?
I think they've got the 13 or 14 picks.
Yeah.
After trading out.
That's kind of what I was hoping the Skins would do, just accumulate a bunch of picks. But, you know, they drafted Chase, and, you know, you can't – I mean, by most people, he was the best player in the draft. So it was good. I made a comment, and, of course, the Redskins message board people freaked out. So when Tua was being selected, it's so funny. I never thought of Tua as a Steve Young type, but all they did was kept comparing him to Steve Young, and they were showing video, and then Tua, and then Steve Young, and I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted, if Tua becomes Steve Young, we botched it.
Of course.
Tua becomes Steve Young, we botched it. And Redskins fans were so bitter. They didn't like that. They thought I was clubbing Chase, and they thought I was clubbing Dwayne. It really wasn't. If Tua becomes Steve Young, a Hall of Famer, wins a couple Super Bowls, one of the greatest of all time, then we botch it. Hopefully he does it.
The Skins fan base, I mean, they couldn't be more thin-skinned. I don't mean brutal. All of them. I just mean a very small
It's the message board crew.
That yeah. I mean, any sort of, you know, consideration of anybody other than Haskins is a slight personally to Haskins to them. It's unreal to see that sort of reaction from the
fan base. Obviously,
Pickett
Chase was like a no-brainer if they couldn't find, you know, a deal where they got overwhelmed. And I expect Chase to – I expect him to go to five – put it in the book. I expect him to go to five Pro Bowls. I mean, that's what I'm expecting. Hopefully he can.
Well, that's what you should expect.
He's going to be a
guy number two overall.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. He's a DeMatha kid, which I love. Yep. So –
DeMatha getting some hype last night on the coverage.
Always. Anytime a DeMatha kid is involved, the high school gets recognized. It is just unbelievable. People are so aware of it. And just the Ohio State deal. I mean, the fact that Burrow was there and the top three players in the draft all, Buckeyes, essentially, is unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And you do just think of the first-round picks they have assembled on that defensive line. So, Sweat last year. Chase Young this year on the outside, Payne and Allen in the middle.
Yeah.
And now your depth includes Ryan Kerrigan. If you just want to go with those four guys, the most recently drafted as the starters on the 4-3, you've got Kerrigan, you've got Settle, you've got Ioannidis.
They should really get after the QB. They really should.
Been waiting a couple of years for that defense, though. But
and then
they
got a defensive coordinator that is
a real one.
He's a real DC. He's got a reputation. He likes to get after it. I think that's going to be a real strength. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think Chase Young's going to be a beast. I really do. Tua could be a beast too, but you know, they're going to obviously go with Haskins.
There's no reason to think Chase is not going to be a beast. There's literally no reason. Zero.
Nope.
So. Until proven otherwise, you have to give them an A for the pick.
I don't think it's unrealistic to expect double-digit sacks from Chase Young as a rookie. You shouldn't be the bar. It should be 10 sacks plus as a rookie.
Well, figure, what did Sweat have?
Seven or eight?
He had seven, and I thought that was a C year. I'm going to say I thought it was a C year for Sweat, so he should be better than Sweat. So
yeah. He should have 10 to 12 sacks as a rookie.
I'm with you.
If he stays healthy, he plays all 16 games.
If he's the best player in the draft, you're damn right he should.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be stripping QBs. It's going to be fumbles. He's going to cause turnovers. He's good against the run. He's fast. I mean, he's just legit.
On paper, if you don't look at the team rankings, like individually, piece by piece, that has all the makings of a great defense, right? Except
secondary,
the back end.
To me, is still questionable.
Back end has still got some work. But, yeah, but the front seven, I mean – I don't know. I mean, the linebackers are okay.
I mean, the only real surprise in the top 15 for me was Ruggs going ahead of Judy and Lamb. I mean, obviously there's not a lot of separation there. Ruggs is, I mean, he ran a 4.28. Mm-hmm.
And Lamb falling to 17, I think, was a little bit of a surprise.
I thought that, you know, those guys were going a little higher, but.
Receivers just went later. Yeah.
Yeah, those other receivers did.
And it didn't help the Redskins trade market for Trent Williams that there were a zillion offensive linemen and tackles going in the first round.
Oh, my God.
I mean, every other pick in play was
this
a
guy's going to – he's going to be on the roster forever. We're never going to get rid of him.
I mean, I still think he gets dealt at some point, but it certainly did not help the Skins leverage.
The Vikings still need a tackle?
I'm sure they could use some help along the offensive line. But
that might be about the only one that's been talked about that didn't draft one.
Well, we are going to be talking NFL draft throughout the show today. John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. He'll join us at 7. It's a Friday, so we'll talk to John Feinstein at 8. Our pal Charlie Cassidy, former Redskins GM, now NFL Network analyst, he'll jump on at 8:20, and we'll talk movies and entertainment with Kevin to switch things up coming up at 9:40, but continuing coverage of the NFL Draft on 106.7 The Fan, presented by FedChoice Federal Credit Union. The federal community is playing a crucial role in our fight during these tough times. And FedChoice Federal Credit Union sincerely thanks everyone working tirelessly to help mitigate the disaster. Learn how we can help you at FedChoice.org, insured by NCUA. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Heads up, tonight, 6:30, you can listen to full coverage of the draft with Chris Russell and Pete Medhurst. Continued coverage of the NFL Draft on 106.7 The Fan, presented by FedChoice Federal Credit Union. The federal community is playing a crucial role in our fight during these tough times, and FedChoice Federal Credit Union sincerely thank everyone working tirelessly to help mitigate the disaster. Learn how we can help you at FedChoice.org, insured by NCUA. So the Redskins drafted Chase Young at number 2, which was expected after Joe Burrow went number 1. If you go down the draft, some of the things that jump out to me, number 1, the Packers, and before the Packers had their choice, Kuiper and Jeremiah and all of the experts were saying, they need help on the outside. All they've got is Davante Adams. They need a tight end. They need wide receivers. Well, they got their quarterback of the future with Jordan Love. So that's a similar situation when Aaron Rodgers was drafted and had to sit behind Brett Favre.
And by the way, Rodgers has basically said he wants to play until he's 40 years old.
Right.
So, I mean, I just don't know what the Packers are doing as far as drafting this guy who's going to sit on the sidelines for 2-plus seasons, 3 maybe more.
I think he's got 4 years left on his deal, and he's 36, so maybe that brings him up. And then could Love sit for 4 years? I mean, I don't know
time.
If I see that.
It's not generally the way things are done era of the NFL. But
I don't think you draft a first-round quarterback and sit him for 4 years.
You know, another thing which jumped out at me is how nasty the Cowboys wide receiving core is now.
Yeah, it's pretty
so they
pretty
were able
loaded.
To select CeeDee Lamb,
mm-hmm.
who goes alongside now Michael Gallup, and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, that's a formidable trio. Because Lamb is not a guy who's going to sit on the sideline for 2 or 3 years. He's going to play from day one.
Yep.
And you would expect him to catch 50 plus balls at least in an offense like that, and just another weapon for Dak Prescott. And that offense opens things up even more for Zeke in the running game. And
I thought the Niners were going to, when they traded back just one slot, I thought they were going to draft Judy or Lamb there at 14,
so too. Yeah.
And they took Kinlaw, who's a great story. I mean, kind of a hometown kid, spent a lot of time here in the D.C. area, but they took Kinlaw and then ended up in there. They traded back up into the first round after trading out of it and selected Ayuk out of Arizona State. So they did get a receiver, but I really thought it was going to be Judy or Lamb.
Hmm. Yeah, and the Broncos just sit there, and Judy falls into their lap for another nice compliment for Drew Locke in year two of his, you know, him starting there in Denver. So that, I mean, he has to be thrilled with that. And I'm guessing Denver and all the mocks that they ran didn't think that Judy's just going to fall to them. They might have thought, well, if we move up, maybe we'll be able to get him. But for them to sit there at 15, they have to have loved that happening.
Lamb is the more slightly built one of all of them, right? or no of the Ruggs receivers?
Ruggs is tiny.
Relatively tiny.
I mean, did you see those highlights of Ruggs dunking in high school?
Oh, incredible. God. Just incredible athlete.
He's like 5'9". He's just alley-ooping, and he's, you know, his arms are like 2 feet above the rim.
Yeah, it's sick. And it's he's absurd. Listed as only 5'11".
Yeah.
But the one that also really jumped out at me that I'm rooting for is Becton, right? The big guy that's 365 pounds or whatever.
Did you see how big his dad was? He must have been 400 pounds.
His dad's lucky he made it to the draft.
Right.
You know, still alive. But he just looks, I don't know, I'm just rooting for that kid.
I know Valdez chuckled when they called him a dancing bear because he's so light on his feet.
Is that why? Because my Twitter exploded. They're like, did they just call him a dancing bear?
Yeah, they did. I slapped my knee and thought immediately Valdez.
That's what they were referring to.
Yeah, they weren't referring to the genre you know that for.
Did he have a sheet and some whipped cream?
He did not. Right. Last time I checked. They also said when he was hugging his dad, they said he looked like he was living in a dollhouse because he's so massive. It made me slap my knee again because he's 6'7 and weighs like 350 plus.
355, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and he's lost weight, and they showed the high school clips of him.
I mean, he's pushing a truck.
You could see how nimble his feet are, and when they showed him running the 40 – I mean, 365, they said at the time or at one point, and he ran in what, 5'1"?
Yes.
I mean, unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
And I think the other
nervous,
steal,
though, about drafting a guy who was 390 at one point?
Yeah, I'd worry about it.
I mean, it's always an issue, for sure. You know, you got to hope he has the kind of heart to stay motivated, because he clearly just has to watch his diet. Yeah. Clearly.
And I'm assuming that was his father who got off the couch.
It was.
Him.
Yeah, 400 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, 400. He looked like he's 500.
The biggest guy I've ever seen. His dad.
They were massive.
Bigger than landfill.
The mom was huge too.
Yeah, the mom was big too. What they say that they own like a soul food restaurant or something.
They own a catering company. Yeah,
something. Yeah. So, God bless him. I'm rooting for that kid. I mean,
Did you like Henry Ruggs in the bathrobe?
I didn't like that move.
I didn't quite get it. I mean, he said he's
at home. He wanted to be comfortable. And he said fast guys like him, they just need to chill sometimes and just wear a bathrobe.
So he
looked like he had clothes underneath
it. Did they interview him when he said that, or he said that afterwards? What?
He said that after he was picked.
Yeah. Live on the air, or just he was quoted?
No, he did a quick interview on air.
Two
or 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old Spice wanted him to wear that robe to draw attention to their donations to United Way or something.
Okay. There's always something.
That's what Rovell said.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And big surprise, he goes to the Raiders, who, as long as they've been around, they just covet speed wide receivers. And that's what he brings. I mean, he ran a 4.27 at the combine, and he was allegedly upset at that time. He thought he could run faster.
Right.
So add some more speed to that offense for Gruden. I mean, he's going to love that kid.
Well, clearly they were upset that it didn't work out with Antonio Brown and felt like they needed speed. You know what I mean?
I thought the Raiders at 19, I thought they might take a shot at Love there. Because there's no way Gruden loves Carr. There's just no way.
No.
So I thought they might take a reach there. That might have been too high, but at 19, I thought they might go Love there. But obviously they went DB.
The thing with the Love pick is obviously Aaron Rodgers is a prickly guy, right? And you could tell, and no one's going to love it, but he ain't going to be a great teammate to that kid, I can imagine. But Love really seems like, of the four, the biggest project, right? So it kind of makes sense that he ends up there in Green Bay, right?
But would the Raiders even have room for him, Jason, because they brought in Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, that's true. I just see Mariota as a stopgap or, kind of on the same level.
He might be a stopgap, but they might just say, hey, you know what, maybe we see what we can do with him.
Maybe they do. Maybe they make him better.
Yeah, sometimes,
I just know that Gruden doesn't love Carr.
Right. But if you bring in Love, who's not ready, anytime you draft a first-round quarterback, we know it here, even when you draft a 15 or whatever, when you draft a first-round quarterback, they're kind of expected to play right away, and unless you're behind a legend like Aaron Rodgers. So that is actually, for Love, a great situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe Rodgers has 2 more years left in him. I think there's a potential out. I was looking at his contract details. There's a potential out after 2 years. He's got 4 years actually left. I think the out is after 21. So maybe they make a move in 2 years and Love's ready.
See where he's at, yeah.
But we'll otherwise, see where he is.
Yep. Otherwise, you still got Aaron Rodgers playing at an elite level, and maybe you can move him if you had to. It's a little strange. I mean, do they have that luxury? I don't know. I don't follow the Packers that closely. I don't know what else they could have done right there to help the football team. Clearly, that's a future move, though.
So, yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he went somewhere else, I think the pressure would have been to play right away, and he's not necessarily ready, and it just kind of creates unnecessary controversy. There's no controversy in Green Bay other than Rodgers probably miffed, you know, that they're already thinking
because
about
the GM said he hadn't talked to Rodgers.
Right, right. That I don't know why if you've got a guy like Aaron Rodgers on your team, he's worthy of a phone call, even though it's professional football. He's worthy of a phone call where you say, hey, listen, don't take this personally. We're just drafting a kid. We're going to see what he's got. And, you know, we know you still got some great football left in you, and we're excited, you know, for you.
Yeah, I don't think Rodgers is worried about it.
Yeah, like you said, I'm going to beat whoever they bring in. But I guarantee it didn't please him because he's probably thinking, you know, it's like when the Redskins drafted a tackle when John Christian and Trent Williams is going, well, why didn't you draft another position? You know what I mean? Like, help the football team. You know what I mean?
I just watching that last night, the first five picks took an hour.
Yeah, right.
Now, the first pick, they didn't get to the first pick until I think it was 8:27.
Oh, it was torture. I mean, they're just sitting there playing on their computer. Just picked Burrow already.
Yeah, I mean, the draft didn't actually – the Bengals weren't on the clock until 8:16 p.m. I mean,
the full time?
I believe they took all 10 minutes.
Yeah, they took the entire
allotment. They wanted their shine. It's embarrassing. Attention dollars.
But if they need the analysts to have time to talk about the players. I think that's what it is. It's TV driven.
Of course it's TV driven, but it's just so dumb. And they had plenty of lead up to it.
It was driving me crazy when I would see in the lower left-hand corner, it would say, Vikings pick is in. Pick's in. Go to the pick. I don't need you to keep talking about the guy that's just picked. I want you to keep moving this thing along. They would talk about whoever else was picked for three more minutes, and then they go to the Vikings pick.
Yeah.
I need you to keep that ball rolling. I don't need it to go till midnight.
No, they wanted to drag it out as long as possible.
How about you get to the picks as soon as they come in?
So the coverage lasted until midnight? It was 8 to 12.
I think I bailed it around 11. So
JP?
Right around midnight.
Wow.
And it's an A. I know we're starving for it. I understand that, you know, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
It's a desert. But still, like, if it starts at 8, get the picks going by 8:05 or get the first team on the clock by 8:05. I understand that everybody's at home and everybody's dealing with the coronavirus and everybody's safe distancing. We all understand that. Mm-hmm. We don't need Roger Goodell, that wooden robot, telling us that. And all these puff pieces about the epidemic that everybody, the pandemic that we're all living through. We all get it.
How'd your bets do, Jason?
I didn't do great on my props, but I got hoard on a couple. Like, I had Justin Jefferson going inside 21.5. He went 22.
Ooh, that hurts. That's painful. You were cheering hard for the Eagles to take him at 21.
Yeah, I thought they would, and they took
instead
Rager
out of TCU.
Yeah. But I don't know. I probably made 15 prop bets. I probably went 5-10. I mean, I actually hit some horse race bets yesterday. I did 3 out of 4.
Back on the ponies.
I got you on it.
But, you know, I had Jonathan Taylor going first and running backs. Obviously, that didn't hit because Edwards went. I had, I don't know. I just got hoarded on a couple of these picks where I thought they would go inside a certain number, and they went right outside the number. But what are you going to do? You know what? I got my fix in. That's all I cared about.
Yeah, you got some action.
I wasn't putting a lot of money up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I hit both of my mock picks from the mock draft yesterday.
You did.
I did.
That's right, because you had Okuda, and then who else did you have?
I had Tua.
Well, you had Tua at 2.
Yeah, because in our mock, the Dolphins moved up. We made an aggressive, bold move that we didn't have to, upped it up at 2.
You had 2, and then you had Okuda, right.
Kate's kind of alluded to this. So many people on social media upset at the Junkies mock draft.
Oh, really?
So many. I mean, just countless tweets. Just people upset. Some people calling us racist. I don't really understand the racist angle.
For the mock?
I think because they believe that all four of us hate Dwayne Haskins.
Right, that's the reason. Because they're the same people that are attacking me. Yeah,
we haven't fitted him
for his jacket yet for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right,
so,
but
yeah,
just getting
all
slaughtered. Here's the deal about our mock draft. And I tweeted back many of these people. I said, half of the fun is joning on each other for botching right. the picks.
All right. They were taking it like it, was, like it was actually the way the draft was going to unfold.
I still don't understand how our mock draft played out, how that was some sort of knock.
Okay, against... just the first five picks, we were getting slaughtered because Chase Young went four. Okay, that was partly because Cakes botched it.
I botched right. it. That was my fault. That's on me.
Yeah.
So terrible
Chase Young went four. Right. And then the Redskins traded down to five and took Jerry Jeudy, who got picked what? 15th last 15th. Night, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow that was racist.
Well, yes. I guarantee they're pissed because I took Herbert
yes.
at 18.
That too.
When I was only doing that as a goof.
Of course.
People are so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are stupid, and there's definitely a percentage of Redskins fans that must be on some message board or something, and they hear about what we're doing, and then yeah. they just go nutty.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, the mock draft was fun. It is what it is. If you took that seriously, you're an absolute moron.
Yeah.
You have an IQ of zero.
Correct.
Kind of like the guy that joned on me or something. It said, what's the cliche about you don't know your head from a hole in the ground or something like that? He used that cliche on me, and he spelled hole in the ground, W-H-O-L-E. So that's kind of
I guarantee you he had – was he a Super Skins fan?
Yeah.
It's a lock he has hashtag HTTR or something similar
something.
In like his Twitter bio.
Something
and
like
no matter
that.
How many
bet
times,
everything on it.
No matter how many times we say this, people don't understand this concept. They love to believe – that we root for misery and a losing franchise.
Yeah, they just don't get it.
What I always say is, think about the stadium. When the team is winning and rolling, the stadium is full. That's like our listener base. When the team starts losing and nobody cares, the stadium is far less full. We don't want that. We want the full stadium.
Right. No, they don't get it. You're supposed to just be rah, 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 rah. All the time.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's entirely reasonable to have questions about Dwayne Haskins.
100%.
Yeah, it's just a we're just talking.
Do all these people believe that there are no question marks regarding Dwayne Haskins? Are they fully confident he's
you know what
a
it
star?
Is? They don't get the show. No. They're stupid. They don't understand what we do.
They don't get it, and they're blinded by the burgundy and gold. Yeah. Like they're just they can't see any other.
Listen, I'm rooting
way
for them. I hope they win 10 games this
I mean,
year.
The percentage of it, times that we're actually serious on the show is about 10%.
Yeah. And the other part,
they don't even know when that is.
They don't even get it.
The other part that gets me is, you guys are so negative. They won 3 games last year.
They've been awful.
They've been one of the worst franchises for the last 2 decades. You know, I think it was Lewis Riddick. It might have been one of the other analysts. They were talking about Cincinnati and just saying, well, Cincinnati actually has a bunch of 10-win seasons. They're better than a bunch of teams in the NFL over the last couple of decades.
That's
since
right.
they drafted Carson Palmer, they're not as much a joke as you think. Maybe they haven't won playoff games, but they have actually put together winning seasons. The Redskins are below the Bengals.
Yeah.
People hear what they want to hear. I think I've been pretty positive on the Skins because I was very positive about the coaching selection with Rivera and that staff. And then I've been talking about Chase Young ever since they got the number 2 pick, right? Some people, you guys wanted to trade out. I know you like Young, but a lot of people wanted to trade out and get multiple picks. Hello, Chase Young's black, first of all. Local kid. I love him. I think he's going to be a beast. I think their defense is going to be much better. And I think they're going to have more than 3 wins. I think they're slowly but surely going to get better. I don't know about Haskins. All right. I don't know about Haskins.
Oh, you must be a racist.
I don't.
No,
think
you have to green light him to the Hall of Fame, Jason.
I don't think he's going to be horrible, but
he's got to be a top 5 quarterback.
But hold on, can we get some bets in? Because I do think that they're going to be over 5 wins. Is it? Can you find me 5 anywhere?
I think it's 5.5.
I've got 5.5 here.
I still think they can win 6 games. Come on,
just put $100 on it.
I should
put your money where your mouth is, Ricky.
I should. We can't find 5 anywhere.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. 5's a
but
push.
I only go to 1 sports book, and that's my online account.
Right.
I guarantee you can find 5 somewhere. I mean, there's a million of them. There's a million accounts.
We better go to break because I guess the Rona's kicking in because all of a sudden now I have a runny nose. We're gonna have like dripping mucus on the show if we don't go to break soon.
All right, we'll take a break. If you want to chime in, what do you make of the Redskins drafting Chase Young? It was pretty much expected. Are you happy with the move? 800-636-1067 with the Junkies talking NFL draft. I'm coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. He'll join us coming up at 7 o'clock to give us his take on Chase Young and what the Redskins might do today, the latest on the Trent Williams trade scenarios, and more. That's coming up at 7. Of course, we're talking NFL draft throughout the day on The Fan. Our continuing coverage presented by FedChoice Federal Credit Union. Federal community is playing a crucial role in our fight during these tough times. And FedChoice Federal Credit Union sincerely thanks everyone working tirelessly to help mitigate the disaster. Learn how we can help you at FedChoice.org, insured by NCUA.
Just a quick note, after the show is done, instead of snuggling under the covers on a rainy day, I will be on the 106.7 The Fan Instagram Live account.
Oh, really?
Doing it live right after the show, talking about Chase Young. Talking some NFL draft, so head on over to that IG Live page. And your boy Flakes and his eye bags will be there.
Now, is that courtesy of someone? You sponsored by someone there?
I will reach out to Blue Shorts and find out if it's sponsored. So I think that's still a work in progress.
I see. Look at you putting in the extra time.
Come on. It's you know what how we do it here.
All hands on deck, Cakes.
And what is your Instagram handle? You changed it? You're back
you,
alive
JP.
On Instagram?
Yes, I've been resuscitated, reborn on Instagram. I am Cakes Flops. On Instagram. Because, I won't even bring up the other name on Instagram.
Because the other one you can't get into.
It's dead. That guy keeps trying to check in from like Hanoi and exotic spots all around the globe.
What is the latest post on Cakes Flops?
Does he even have one? JP. I got to follow Cakes as Flops.
Yeah, and not Cakes. Yeah, Cakes Flops.
Cakes
Flops.
No
apostrophe.
Cakes
I don't know
flops.
What the latest post is. It's a good question.
Right.
So you're just going to be fielding questions from Donkey Kongs?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right, hold on.
The latest post from me was my daughter plucked my eyebrows for me a few days ago, so I showed those off on the gram. By the way, belated happy birthday, 18th, to my daughter yesterday.
Can you believe your daughter is 18? Unbelievable.
Well, I have a 23-year-old son and now an 18-year-old daughter. Like I said last week, I'm digging a grave right by the trampoline, and I'm going to jump on the trampoline a few times and then jump into my grave site.
Hey, by the way, I was talking to some guys from Maryland yesterday. Is he going to expand the essential businesses today? I thought he was.
Well, I don't know about that, but he had said that when they start to open, golf courses will be the first thing.
Okay. That might happen today.
Sure. I'm not sure. It might be next week because somebody said, yeah, it's not happening this weekend. But it might be next week. But when they start the slow reopening of things, golf courses will be the first part. I'm glad you brought that up. I know we want to go through the clips. But, you know, our mutual friend Tom Healy owns several golf courses. And, you know, this is just killing business, obviously. And one of the things, it's great if it opens, but they won't be able to, you know, you won't be able to really go into the clubhouse. You won't be able to sell merch. Your food service is going to be way down, obviously, booze, all that. But you will be able to play, which is good. But, you know, it's only one person per cart unless you're in a family. I thought he came up with a brilliant idea, and it's so simple, to fix that problem. Put plexiglass in the golf cart. Retrofit all the golf carts. If this is going to be something that we're going to deal with for a year, put plexiglass
right in between the two
right
seats.
In between, and then there you go. You've solved your issue. Guys aren't breathing on each other. But to me, it's a no-brainer. You could retrofit them cheaply.
I don't know how much that would cost.
It's cheaper than buying new carts for 5 years, you know. So anyway, I thought that was a brilliant idea. And then another buddy of mine, we were talking about, I don't know how it is in Virginia, but in theory, you shouldn't be able to use the driving range because everyone's touching the balls. Mm-hmm. So the solution simply is you just have a rule. At the driving range, you can't use your driver, and you just use the clubs to roll the ball over to you. That solves that. Every golfer in the country can do that.
What about touching the baskets?
Just wash the
ball
baskets. Just wash the baskets like they wash the golf carts.
But who's going to monitor if people are touching the balls?
They're not. I mean, it's not the police, but they're just saying, hey, you could take away all the tees. Right, and say, listen, there's no drivers in the driving. You can monitor that pretty easily. And then,
you bring your own tees out there.
True, but you're touching the balls.
I understand that.
Yeah, but you're talking about in grass ranges. And
I'm
stuff,
saying
right?
Who's going to monitor, walk up and down the range.
No
and
one's
going to
monitor when you're on the third hole if you're on the, right. on the card anyway. But look, I'm just trying to do this in a way that is feasible for everybody. I mean, there's workarounds and everything. I mean, you could steal from a, you know, but, you know, have a policy that is, you know, that follows all the guidelines. Anyway, I thought it was a great
golf
idea.
Golf is safe. It's fine. You can even just do the two carts and two people can walk. It's people stay.
Yeah, but
away
like
from
some courses, like some courses, I won't mention names. They're unwalkable from correct. Green to tee. It's too far away. No, and people yeah. know it.
Yeah,
you know.
Believe me, I've been on some of those. That's why I jumped on the back of one.
Right, exactly, and you almost killed yourself. And then now you have liability issues and everything. So I think the plexiglass thing between the players is a no-brainer. I love it. I think
well,
they should
Jason,
adopt
if
that.
Maryland allows golf to come back today or tomorrow, we'll lose a guest for tomorrow's show. Jason and I are going to be on continuing draft coverage from noon till three tomorrow. Chick Hernandez is conditional.
Right.
If he can golf, not a guest.
yeah.
Right. If the courses open up, you're down a guest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I know we have John Keim coming up at 7. And we wanted to do the Chase Young clips here. I don't want to blow through them too quickly. Let's do it at 7:20 after Keim.
Well, I think we can play a couple of them.
I want to hear from Rivera. I want to hear from Chase. I want to hear all of them. Yeah, okay, you want to play some now? Okay.
Yeah, let's play clip number 8, which is Rivera talking about how he expects Chase to fit in on the defense, how he expects to use him.
Well, in talking with Jack and Sam Mills, you know, you want to be able to put the kid on the field and have him make an impact every time he's on it. But you have to be realistic about that and know that, you know, there are some times and situations where you've got to rotate him out. So what we like to do is get him out there, get him going, see where he's going to fit. And then from that point, use him. But use him the right way. Use him to where if there's 70 plays in a game, you know, he's not playing all 70. He's going to play somewhere between 40, 45 because we're going to rotate guys. We have a good core of guys. You know, again, one of the things that was attractive to me when I took this job was the front. You know, based on the drafts that have happened in the last previous three seasons, I felt very good about that group. I think that's a dynamic group, and I think Chase is – probably one of the big pieces that you need. An edge guy, coupled with another young dynamic guy, some quality other players around him, and then you've got tackles that create a push so quarterback can't step up. So again, it's not necessarily just about the one guy as much as it is, I think, putting the final piece in place. And you feel really good about who those four guys are going to be that are on the field at that time. And again, as I said, you know, we're going to rotate guys, and so Chase could be in there with one group of guys and rotate it, and next thing you know, he's in with another group. But, you know, we're going to use him to be a dynamic player.
And you
I'll
think
just say
about
this
those...
before we go into the Chase Young, this is a generality. We're all going to miss Jay Gruden at the mic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jay
because
was
Rivera,
so much better.
Rivera
absolutely.
Is just, Rivera's not, he's not boring,
yeah, right.
but he's nuts and
he's
bolts.
He's not dynamic.
He's all business.
He's all biz. You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're
going to
miss
Gruden. Hey, there's a give and take. There's a give and take.
That's true. That point is very true.
Yeah.
But he's absolutely right. I mean, they've drafted, starting with Jonathan Allen, then you go Daron Payne, then you go Montez Sweat, and now Chase Young. They've drafted first-round guys, defensive linemen, and edge rushers the last several years. If they can live up to the hype, it should be a really good unit.
I mean, it has to be.
It's good.
And they're
going to
be deep because you've got Ioannidis, Settle, and Kerrigan as kind of depth guys if you just focus on the four young guys that they've drafted recently in the first round.
Right.
Sweat's huge because if he can – you know, live up to where he was drafted and live up to the talent he had in college. I mean, if they could have Sweat on one end and obviously Chase on the other, man, they could really do some damage.
I'm not ready to pencil in Sweat over Kerrigan at this point.
Okay, but he's got to be the future.
He better be, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. But I think you're right. They got some depth. You got a staff that could take advantage of them. You got speed. You know, that's going to be a real strength, I would think. Now, I've said that before, and it wasn't, but that should be
Here's
a real strength of the team.
If Chase is as good as we think, and there's no reason to think he's not, and if Haskins pans out, man, you've got your two most important pieces. You really do. So the future is bright if these guys hit.
Well, now they got to get a couple more receivers and get a tight end.
Yep.
Coming up next, John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. He'll give us the latest, what the Redskins might be doing tonight in the draft and beyond, plus the latest on Trent Williams right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.